much, Jill, for coming. And I will pray for you real quick. So, Jesus, we just thank you so much for this morning and for this time. We thank you that you are a God who is near and you are a God who cares. Lord, we ask that you would be with Jill as she presents this morning, as she shares what's on her heart and what's in your word. Lord, we just ask you for your help in our marriages. We know that you are a God who is for marriage. It is a picture of the gospel in action. And so we do not take that lightly. We ask that you would, just share your truth with us in a bold and big way, and that our marriages would be sharpened by the words that we hear this morning. I pray that you would protect Jill, that you would, just place your angels around her, that you would help her to capture thoughts, that you would just bless her for bringing forth your word. And we thank you for these things. Amen.
Table? Okay, good. I always print off kind of an outline of what I'm speaking because some of you have kids and you won't be here, or hey, there you go. Or you might still just be lack of sleep today from the kids last night. So thank you for having me. I was excited to be able to unwrap a little bit of your theme verse this year of Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose is purpose that prevails. And so I was trying to think of that in marriage. And so I'm giving you kind of five truths on that. And it won't be five truths of how to prevent, how to do this, but where God is when he's unfolding all of your life with your children, with your husband. And because each one of you are going through different things in life, I think all of us in this room can say we struggle at times and have different things that we struggle with. So for me to try to hit what's going to hit your marriage, that would be impossible. That's a one-on-one invitation by God, how he's conforming you into his son, Jesus Christ. And so it's a personal story. And so for me to try to hit, especially as a counselor, to try to hit where you're at, I just wouldn't even begin to. So I want to kind of step back and give an aerial of what's going on when God is unfolding your marriage. And there's a collide a bit of, what? I didn't expect this, right? So I was thinking back at a time in my life. I had just miscarried for the second time. I was kind of defeated. And I had plans, like I was supposed to be doing A, B, and C, and it just wasn't happening. We had kind of 7 years of infertility, and so by that second time, I was just like, I don't know what to do, so I thought, I think I'll run the mini marathon. So it was on my bucket list at 40 to do, but I thought, well, I've got, not a lot going on right now, so I think I'll train for that. So I got a hold of Dale Shaw, and he gave me his plans to how to complete the mini marathon. So I went after it, very boot camp light, very rigid. My goal was I'm going to finish the race. I had plans to finish the race. That was about it. And I went after it. And to my surprise, though, when I showed up, there was so much that I missed out on or didn't think was there for me. And I think that's how we think with our marriage. We think, I've got a particular plan, and we miss out on all the things God is unfolding during that journey. And so as I looked back, I felt like I think I was too tied up in my plans to run the marathon. But there was some unknown things along the way. But to my surprise, actually literally brought me to tears as I was running on the course. I'm like, this is so awesome. But was I in pain? You bet. Was it kind of hot? Yes. But there were so many beautiful things along the way, and I think that's how our marriage is. It's painful sometimes. It's God has used my marriage to personally squeeze me. I'm a type of person, I can kind of run further than people maybe, and I could bunker down and kind of isolate myself where it's like, oh, no one's really bumping up against me, even kids, you know. But nope, my God was so good about, I've got someone that can help squeeze you a bit to get the impurities out of your heart, and that's my beloved husband. I'm so grateful for it. It was the most painful thing, but most blessing where I saw my Savior the most. So I'm hoping this will, some of the things we talk about today will help you in this journey. If you ever look in a room, especially like this, and think, man, that girl's got it all together. As a counselor, big lie, okay? Don't even think that. All of us in this room are fallen women that has a redeeming aspect of our life with this Christ that's unfolding our life. But we're all, like, take the Holy Spirit out of me, and I am one hot mess. I'm insecure. I'm fearful. I'm everything that the Bible says we are. That's who I am. And look at your neighbor and say, yep, that's who you are too. But I think we tend to, even in the church, try to dress up, try to cover up. And I think that's the work of Satan. We don't want to do that. So we want to be real in life to say, yes, it's struggle, but totally eclipsed and saturated with the hope of the gospel to say, man, it's a beautiful mess kind of thing. So some things that were kind of, and can you imagine if you tried to pack everything you need for the marathon, right? You'd show up and you'd be like, I've got this big pack back, so I'm prepared for everything that goes wrong. In case something goes wrong, I'm prepared. I have a plan. And so I'm thinking maybe we do that in our marriage. It would have weighed me down on the course. And when I showed up, they literally had water for me. Right when I was just getting a little thirsty, there's water for me. At other times when I felt my muscles kind of straining, there were these food packs that, I don't know what was in them, but man, you suck those things down and you're like, doing, you know, you can go another mile. There was music going on every corner, lots of genres and things. So if anybody run the mini marathon in here? Several, yeah. There's some like bands, all types of genre, and I'm like, this is incredible. And like, you just kind of run into it in certain areas, and just the right time it was there for an encouragement. Strangers I didn't even know cheering me on. It literally brought me to tears at one point. I'm like, these people are strangers. They don't even know me, but they're cheering me on. And it really helped me keep going to the distance, especially that long, the last point when all the crowds are right there. It's like, oh my gosh, wow, look at me. I'm doing it. It was just an incredible thing. And so when I look back, I was thinking, I planned for such like small goals just to finish the race, right? There's so much more beauty in it. And so when I thought of you guys' verse of the plans, we do have plans in our heart, but the Lord's will prevail. And so I think it's humility that would get us to the point in our marriages is thinks, I may not have the right plan. Like sometimes we're in line with God's plan as it's unfolding, but sometimes he interjects and maybe put something joyous in, maybe put something painful in, but he says that's the most beautiful thing for your path. And it's kind of hard to believe. And so when I look at other versions, I think I gave you a couple different versions of different Bible versions of that verse. New Living Translation Bible version says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. The Message version, I like this one. We humans can keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purposes prevails, right? And so I think about my marriage. I'm purposely planning and doing, and God's got a whole different story. And my husband always gives me permission. There was a time in our marriage where he was kind of in a dark spot, just wrestling with him and life and God and I kept getting in there about the marriage. It's got to be about the marriage. And I had plans to try to help him. And it's like all of a sudden he just woke up and it was my Vaughn again. And I'm like, well, what happened? Like, I was thinking all my plans were really moving him to see Jesus' face. And I said, well, what happened? He was like, nothing. Just God showed up and I heard him and just got an awakening from him. Like, what am I doing? And he himself woke up because God was speaking to him through his word, through the word of God. And that reset him. And it was a wild journey. But I literally was thinking, it's all the things I'm doing. That's what's going to happen. Maybe if I tell him this thing that I learned in Bible study today, that'll snap him out of this. And I was like exhausting myself and missing out on where God was going to show up. So the story of your redemption, the story of Jesus Christ in your life, doesn't always match our expectations. When you, I just, you know, coming off my son's wedding, there's so many plans and things, and it's such a beautiful day. But I don't know what their life is going to unfold. And as a mother, now I'm in a new role with my son. It's more hands off. He's now cleaving to his bride. It's not my job to butt in. So if there's any moms here that are my age and you have, you're an in-law, a mother, I'm a mother-in-law now, it's new. Man, stay out of your kids' lives. The first weekend I came to visit them, she was just like, I'm just having to remind my mom how old I am, like, because she's not seeing her. And I said, well, I'm always an advocate for you, but my silence doesn't mean I care. I'm commanded to kind of stay out of your life unless you need me. And she just broke down in tears. She was like, thank you. And I said, but, you know, if you ever need me to kick my son in his pants, you know, wake up, I'd be glad to do that. But hands off, right? And just expectations in life. So I can get fearful of thinking, oh, gosh, what are the things that are going to unfold in their life, the plans? And I can start planning to guard against that, especially when you're older. You're thinking, I don't want you to hit your head like maybe my husband and I did. We can't even do that. We have to wait. So as we unpack Proverbs 19:21, it's in kind of the middle section of just character, wisdom and character. And so I broke down just the words within that verse and some different Hebrew words that mean plans, means devise, intention, invented, create a design, plot, purposes, a scheme of rational thought. And so we think about our plans. This is what we're doing. We've got plotting and rational thoughts. And so we all have a plan in our mind of what our marriage is to look like. And I think the hardest thing is to look at God's word and say, this is the perfect picture of what my husband's supposed to look like. This is the perfect picture of what I'm supposed to look like. If you're looking in Proverbs 31, woman, she's made up. She's just for our imagination to say, you can do anything in Christ Jesus. Right? So a lot of women study that and think, oh, that's my goal to be like her. It's that so every individual woman can look in there and say, I see myself. There's one aspect of Proverbs woman I see. Right? It's our goal is not to be everything in there like that. I think women exhaust us and being like, man, go get it, girl. And no, you're exhausting me, okay? That story's made up. And it's just, I'm thinking the beauty of her, all of us are unique in here. For me to go after particular things that I'm not gifted in or created to be, I'm minimizing who God's creating me to be. And so, just a little side note on Proverbs 31. So make sure our plans are, we can dream and have plans, and we can do plans like, hey, we're going to the park tomorrow. That's fine. But make sure when maybe your child starts throwing up and you don't get to go, that's part of God's plan. It's his plan unfolding, a beautiful plan. And so we're supposed to hold our plans very loosely. We just do this because the Lord can change them. And as we're going along, we need to hold that. We need to hold our kids like this. They're not really ours. We are stewards of these children to teach them and grow them up and then launch them out into the world. Our husbands are a temporal relationship. We hold him loosely. Husbands can go away. Husbands can pass away. Husbands, they are temporal relationship. The Lord is the one that keeps them and sustains them and moves them in and out. We cannot control anything in our life other than how we respond to things unfolding in our God divine life. It makes you feel very vulnerable, freaked out, scared. It does me, right? I feel insecure. The more I get closer to my kids, the more I get closer to my husband, I want to hold on to you because I don't want you to go away, right? I don't want it. It scares me. But because I have Christ in me, I can do this and say, your life that you're planning for me is God divine. And I'm excited as you unfold it. When fear comes in, then I think some lies I may be thinking, my God's not with me. He's not going to support me and supply what I need along the path of the journey. So we have to make sure, keep coming back to, are these God's plans or my plans? And my plans, I just got to hold real loosely, but keep planning your day. In a person's heart, what God's saying is your inner man, what's going on in your inner person. It's your will, it's your conscience, it's what you desire and dream about. And God himself is renewing that. It's the Lord's purpose. That means it's God's plans, it's his counsel, it's his decision, it's his wisdom. We don't, other scripture verses talks about don't lean on your own understanding, and we need to lean on God's. And then the last part of Proverbs 19:21 is prevail. And I love this, that it will stand, it'll come to fruition. You tango with God, your plans will not pass his. He is in charge of your life. And why? Because we said when we came to the altar of Jesus Christ, we said, my life's gone. I'm laying all my life down at your feet, Jesus. Old Jill is gone, and now I'm going to watch you unfold new Jill every day. So you may not even recognize yourself in 20 years. You'll be doing things, you're like, wow, look at me. Look at Jill Walmsley up here talking to people. I'm an introvert, right? I would take an F in English class as a young girl because I did not like talking in front of people. But God has made me his ambassador, and he's given me strength to come and speak on his behalf. He's making me an extrovert. I mean, it's like incredible what he can do for you. So I use the mini marathon illustration, just a small illustration of how we need to be more excited as God's unfolding our path and our journey. So let's look at the five truths here that we want to cover today. And these truths can just help us hold our plans loosely again and to know that God is in control. He has an eternal plan for you, and it's going to come into fruition. It's going to come into real life, which is cool. So number one is there's only one path. There's only one road in Jesus Christ. And if you are a fellow sister in Christ, we're all on that same path. There's no other places. Can we at times take an exit ramp? Yep, you bet. We can, or a ditch. We can fall into a ditch, if you will. At some point in your marriage, you may stop and realize there's a shift in your marriage. Maybe your husband's in the ditch, like I was explaining earlier. Maybe you're in the ditch, right? There's just times where there's a shift. And so our first reaction is, instead of saying, these are my plans that God wants to remove. So it's kind of like, thank you, Lord. But our shift is, there's a problem right away. Oh my gosh, there's a problem, right? Instead of saying, maybe God's just nudging me because I'm getting ready to exit or get in the ditch. Like he's causing us not to do that. And at that point, we may kick in and say, I'm going to force my plan. It's going to happen. I mean, I've done that with my own hands. I'm going to force my husband to be able to see Jesus Christ, right? And I'm sticking everything in under his face and sinning with my words, pleading, and I wasn't gracious, right? Because it was all because I was fearful of where it was going. My hope was tied to him instead of, I'm on the path, on this path with Jesus Christ, and he's going to complete the work. And so I was trying to force my plans when God was just trying to show me his plan. Psalm 16:11 says, You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forever. And I just love that verse because it reminds me of John 10:10 when Jesus says, I've come to give you life. And I love that little comma in there. It says life abundantly. And so the lie we believe is when there's a shift in our marriage, there's no pleasures here. There's no joy here. And we start getting kind of sad and downcast, I guess, instead of saying this is part of the journey and there are beauties and pleasures in this because it's redemption. Ephesians 1:4 says, even as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. God's purpose for us has been planned before the beginning of the world began. He has great plans for us. And I think as a woman, and I'm a planner, I just got caught up in so many times of planning of where our family should be heading instead of just allowing God to unfold each day and just saying, I'm ready here. I've got the Holy Spirit with me. And again, we're planning like, hey, we're going to the park or something. But I think all the shifts in our marriage and things like that, we always think is such a negative. And it's just maybe God nudging his sheep with the rod and staff. Sometimes the staff guides us. Sometimes the staff bonks us on our head, right? Sometimes that shepherd bonks us on the head and be like, you are heading in the wrong direction, sister, and gives us a little bonk. And then other times he just gently guides us. And other times we're way out in the pasture and he always comes and gets us. He always is so faithful to come and get us. So we really can't get too far off the path. Once we are in Christ, we are sealed for eternity and we cannot be lost ever, ever. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Number two, we need to get, where do we get our truth about our marriage? God provides us clear direction. So as you're going along the path in your life, make sure your directions are from God's word, his scripture. The Holy Spirit only uses God's word. He won't use bumper stickers. I hear women talk, oh, the Lord spoke to me through a bumper sticker today. No, he didn't. He speaks to you through scripture, the word of God. That is his word. And we'll put two and two together and think, that must be God. And we've got to be careful about things when we're planning to not get too off of God's plan. His word is some areas very black and white, and then other areas it's like, make the decision. If it's not sin, go for it. Sometimes we get down the road and think, because it's chaos, we think, oh, I was unbiblical and I made the wrong decision there along the way. No, it wasn't. You made the right decision. Just God's unfolding your life and it happens to be, this is the outcome. Don't tie outcomes to your decision making. Does that make sense? Pray about it. Look into God's word and he will direct you in that. John 17 says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. That is our thing that our soul gets life out of, is his word. That's the only thing that saturates our hearts, is his word. I came across an article online from Vogue magazine. It says, pay attention to your needs. Remember that each spouse needs to be secure and pleased with who they are as an individual. So keep doing the things that brought you joy before you got married. Movie nights with your girlfriends, hiking trips. The happier you are with yourself, the more happiness you'll bring to your marriage. Okay, come on now. Do we read these when we're getting our hair done or picking and waiting for us, our kids at the doctor's office? Man, put those magazines down. It's not truthful. We need to pick up the word of God where it says you're wonderfully and beautifully made. But it also says to put your other's needs before your own. And so as in your marriage, sometimes you have to shelf all the things that, yes, should be coming to you as a wife, Like that time in the desert where my husband was in the desert, we weren't doing marriage, if you will, but we were doing God's kind of marriage because I stepped in as more of a sister in Christ. And I could lay aside my wife role and say, I don't need these things. I'm already fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I can allow, because I'm so 100% filled up with Jesus Christ, I can allow him to take time off or mentally check out, if that makes sense, because I'm good. And the more I'm good and full in Jesus Christ, then I can turn to him and say, how can I help you? If I'm deficient and think I'm not full, I feel tapped out, I believe the lie that I'm not 100% secure. I believe the lie that I don't have purpose in life. My purpose in life, my worth, and my value is 100%. It comes from Jesus Christ. I am such a secure person now compared to who I was in 20s, 30s. Again, it's the Spirit of God telling me, Jill, you're enough. You don't need to dance for anybody. You don't need to perform for anybody. There's a one-man audience, it's in my Jesus. And so it frees me then to be like, I don't have to entertain anybody. Like, I don't have to fill up my husband's cup. I'm waiting for Jesus to fill that up. And it's just, I'm ready to help instead of waiting for him. I need you, 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 right? I wore him out when we first got married because I was so insecure because I needed you to fill me up. I need you. And now it's like, man, Jesus Christ is my fill. I go to the Word, get filled up, and then I say, who needs a cup today? I've got my cup ready for when my kids need me, when my husband needs me. Now, in the stage you're in now, you need to not have so much on your plate as you're traveling the road because you have so much drinks to give to your children. They need a lot of drinks right now, right? And you're drinking one, and then you give them one. And you're drinking one, and then you give one, because you'll get worn out. And you just have to kind of monitor that. So just be careful what you're reading, what you're drinking. Another article I found that's always fun to look online for these fun articles. Psychology Today says, you have a responsibility to yourself, and you're partner to be clear about your needs. You're the expert on yourself. Really? The scripture says that I don't even know myself, to not even trust in my own desires, because if they're not renewed, they're fleshly desires. I can't trust myself how I'm feeling. Sometimes I just tell my family, I'm feeling squirrely, I'm feeling weird, I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm either going to punch a pillow or cry, just stay away from me for a few moments. Like, I just don't know myself sometimes with hormones and stuff. So I just give myself some space there, and I just need that. I'm not an expert at myself, but I know who is, and that's Jesus Christ. He knows me intimately, and I say, Lord, expose me. Help me to understand who Jill is, who old Jill is. Scripture's very clear. There's a list of things who old Jill was. And I'm learning now, what is new Jill like? And tap into that more. Proverbs 28:26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. See, he is on you along the path. He's always with you. Your husband may not be with you. He may be checked out spiritually. He may be passive right now, or maybe controlling everything. Like, he's not there, but all times, Jesus Christ is there with you, guiding you and teaching you. He is your eternal groom. He'll always be with you. Number three is, have you ever asked the question, this isn't how I expected marriage to be? Raise your hand if we've all come to that conclusion. I have. We have hardship and trials in our marriage. And every time they come, it was just like, seriously? I don't have that on my calendar, right? if I know that God says in his word that road hazards and bumps are inevitable, something in me says, okay, then it's okay. What is God maybe teaching me here? What is Maybe there's something going on that I don't know that God will not reveal to me. There's some things he just doesn't reveal to us. But God is doing a good thing, even in a hard thing. It says 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, I love that. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial in your marriage when it comes to test you as though something strange was happening to you. And that's what I feel like sometimes. Like, it's just like, this isn't what I have, right? This isn't what I expected. But Isaiah 41 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. I love that. Number four. Back on hardships and trials, those are, once you realize, as you're going on the road, as the Lord's going to squeeze us to get the things we need to grow out in. Sometimes it's for our children, sometimes it's for our husband, and sometimes it's for us. And so if we think about these things, even the hard things, I remember like the infertility, it was really hard. It was back in the day where this whole building's kind of changed. I've been here like 23 years, so things have changed a little bit. But I remember there was a hallway you'd go down, and I would totally avoid that hallway because it was just like so many kids, and it was like, oh, Lord, why, what's wrong with me? And then started just really asking those hard questions. But then I knew there's beauty in this, and Lord, would you help me find the beauty in it? God gives us these spiritual glasses. I always use this illustration in counseling. When you become saved, when Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, before you could see nothing. You thought you were living life. I mean, I didn't get saved till I was 27, so I did everything the scripture says not to do. Jill's in there, and she was doing it. So then I came to Christ, and he gives me these new lenses, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not right. I shouldn't be doing this. And I started dropping the things that God's showing me to do. With these spiritual glasses, you see evil now. You sense evil. You know what's wrong. You know what's right. But with these glasses, you see beauty like you've never seen beauty before. You see things in chaos that are beautiful. And so when I look back on the painful things and the painful trials I've had, and I know all of you, you're having them, you can look back and says, Lord, I wouldn't take those off my road because that's when I saw your face. I saw the beauty in chaos. These lenses are better than Superman's glasses. I mean, they are. And the only thing that helps us to keep those glasses where, you know, when you go in the eye doctor and they're like, click, 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 is that better? Is that better? Is that better? Is the Word of God. Keep reading the Word of God, and that will help our lenses stay a little defogged and clear, because we need these on the road as we're going along the path. Let's move to number four. The next question is, have you ever said, I can't do this. This is too hard. Again, I'm sure all of us could raise our hands. I'm sure there's women right now in this room right now struggling really hard in their marriage. I remember in the time when my husband was in a dark season, I just was like, you just want to scream out, man, I'm really struggling. But you just kind of silently suffer a bit. Now, there were some key people in my life in that journey, but it's hard. And you think, man, Lord, you picked the wrong girl. I can't handle this. But I go to scripture and it says, everything that I go through was divine picked. And he says, whatever I put you through, Jill, I've equipped you to put you through. And I was like, everything that we think, oh, I can't handle this. He's saying, I actually divinely appointed this in your life before the foundations of the world, and I know we're going to get through it. And it's just a small lie we believe, I can't do this. Or if maybe there's a repeated thing that keeps cycling through your marriage. There was a lot of cycle in our marriage. And I got out of the cycle, but my husband kept kind of going in the cycle, and finally we're both out of the cycle. But it's hard to endure in those times. And you just think, I cannot go through this thing. We just went through this last year. I'm not going through this again, Lord. And you can buck it and get rebellious. I did it. and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and well, then this thing called bitterness starts getting in your heart and growing like a weed, and you're like, every time you think of him, you can't even hear his breath, you know, just like, I knew when Jesus said, you're returning evil for evil. Okay, Lord, I'm going to wake up, and he taught me mercy. How to love somebody when I don't really like you right now. That's what God did to us when he came and saved us. I was at my most ugliest, and he showered me with the most treasure, himself, and all the things I need for life. Wouldn't I do that for my spouse? Wouldn't you? We go and minister. That's what convicted me. I'll go and minister to people at church and take appointments for women that are really suffering. Would I take an appointment for my husband who's in the ditch? Or did I hold my marriage so high as, no, that's off limits. When I go home, man, I can just kick back. This marriage is for me, right? No, it's still ministry. Every aspect of your life is ministry. Don't think Mom's Connection is just ministry. And then when I go home, it's just like, oh, it's all good. I'm getting kicked back. Who's serving me today, right? It's game on. So that's why you're going to get exhausted. So at that time of the season, my ministry was just my spouse. That's it. That's all the capacity I had was my ministry was to my spouse. He needed me, and that's all I could do. It was kind of like, really, Lord? I'm on the planet just to minister this one guy, right? So when you're used to ministering to multiple people, you think, this isn't important. And then God says to me, really? You're elevating church ministry over one person? Don't I go out and get one person, one lamb out, one sheep out in the pasture? Would you do that? And yes, Lord, I have to do that. And there's just so much freedom more to be helping us examine what is true ministry. Now the world's gonna tell you, especially when like you go to the doctor and like, well, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm a homemaker. Like, I'm proud of it. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Now, when I first left the corporate world, like, you don't have a resume anymore. It's not real impressive, but to me, my God resume is really important. I'm a child of the King, and I'm shepherding my children right now, which is an awesome responsibility and a great privilege. And to ministering to my husband as he goes out into the world and praying over his clothes and doing everything I can because I'm a sender. I'm a missionary sender to these little people and my husband as they go out the door. I'm doing ministry. So don't minimize your ministry along the way. God is doing so much thing. As you're persevering and enduring, it takes a village to bring around, so that's why I love that you're in community here. Be in community. I loved what Pastor Mark said here at College Park in the marriage series a few weeks ago. He says, a weak relationship with Christ will manifest a weak marriage. So if sometimes, again, the season where my husband was kind of weak in his relationship with Christ, I kept thinking he's weak in our marriage. I never even thought, oh, he's maybe struggling with God. Everybody's always struggling with that first. Always. They start forgetting God's truths, forgetting his, and then it manifests and trickles down to the marriage. Where I thought when the trouble hit, oh, it must be between him and I. And then we'd start arguing about him and I was like, it had nothing to do with me. I wasted so many times trying to press into him about it was nothing to do with my marriage. He even said, it's like nothing to do with you. I'm struggling with my relationship with God and purpose in life. And that's when I was able to be his helpmate and help him understand. You're 100% in Christ. Your value and worth doesn't come from being on billboards or people affirming you all day. Actually, it's detriment to your character. It's false elevation of who you are as a man in Christ. And so many things I was like, wow, I'm teaching my husband. Where I'm being his helpmate to help him in his time of trouble. But if I'd stop squeezing him on the marriage thing and be able to help him as a sister in Christ, there was freedom there. Galatians 6:9 has carried me through many seasons. It says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Sometimes in life, in your marriage, you're just going, you're doing good, and you don't see any results. My husband's not changing. If your goal is to change your husband, then wrong goal. The goal is to keep doing good. God's word does not go void. I've met so many women in Bible studies and says, I've prayed for my wayward son, this and that, and I spoke to him on these particular passage. When that son got saved, he was able to recall everything that mom had said. I remember when you said this, Mom. At the time, he was like, I don't want to hear that. And she actually thought they weren't listening. So if your little people at home or your husband, you feel like they're not listening to me, they will. When that soul gets ignited with Jesus Christ, all that scripture will be recalled. That word of God does not go void. But be wise in how you dispense it. Don't be every breath your little kid takes or your husband takes. Well, Jesus says. Man, you can win them over without even a word, scripture says, of just living your life. And my husband said that. I just noticed, wow, you were keep going. You were persevering. You were still keeping your spiritual body strong as I was weak. And it really, people are watching, but in their blindness, they can't see it. But once they get ignited with that passion from Jesus Christ, they can see all the good works. Remember, God will prevail in making me more and more like Jesus and to use my life, including my marriage, to refine me. I can't use my husband to fill me with the true joy that only comes from Jesus Christ. Lastly, again, with the marathon, I think what I missed out that never even thought of is the encouragement all along the way. I think in my marriage at times I'd turn to my husband and say, I wish you would have encouraged me this way when God was sending me so many people in his body of Christ to encourage me. And yet I wanted it to come from my husband. I have to have it come from him. No, you don't. God is screaming at you his divine love through human beings. He's screaming at his beautiful love through creation as we look outside, through like-minded brothers and sisters, through the word of God when we go into Sunday morning to revive our hearts. He's speaking all the time and saying, I love you. You're going to be okay. And so if we start opening our eyes to saying, oh, Lord, where is your beauty in this? I may not be getting it from my husband right now, but would you give me spiritual kisses from someone else today? And he does. A kind word from someone maybe at Target. Someone helps you with the groceries somewhere. Or even a little, just when my daughter, when I was younger, just taking my face and kissing me. And so I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for these. And so, or good friends, right? Just to be able to have a good cry and just unleash and for them to say, yes, I hear you, and to encourage you to keep going in your covenant, in your marriage, to keep going. Hebrews 10 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, Romans 15 says, we should help others do what is right and to build them up in the Lord. And so if you have a friend who's struggling in a marriage, I always thought it was beautiful that like sometimes when I was in the tank, my girlfriend wasn't, and I was like, oh, cool, okay, she can minister to me. And then like right now, there's a season where there were so many years she kind of poured into me, and now it's like I can pour into you, right? And so find people that you can pour into with each other. If you're going to the park, man, bring someone with you. Friends are really important, and as long as they are giving you truth from God. In my hardest time, who doesn't know about those hardest times is someone that probably I should have be so close to share was my mom or my sisters. And why I chose not to tell them? Because they love me. They want to protect me, and they would have probably thought less of my husband or this or that. And I wanted to guard his reputation with us. I knew that they would be on my side. I want women that would tell me, yes, I hear you, you're struggling, but here's what God's word says. Find good friends that would encourage you in that. And I know we find that in this room here. want to just share these words before we go from John Piper. He says, God loves you more and has a better plan than whatever you're thinking you need in your marriage today. He's trying to make you secure, more solid in him, and unshakable in your marriage. God loves you. God conquered death for you. He removed your hardened heart. He eradicates rebellion. He gives us spiritual sight and creates faith and gives us an invincible covenant love for eternity. Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if there's any women here struggling today, Lord, they'd first go to you, Jesus, to be complete in you and to know that they are 100% loved by you. They have 100% purpose in you, whether their husband's following you or not, and they are 100% worthy and valuable. And so, Lord, I just pray, Lord, you would infuse those truths into these women's heart. Help us, Lord, to hold our plans loosely, to be able to be good stewards of our time and to plan well. But when there's a shift on the road, Lord, help us. And, Lord, lastly, let us hold fast to you, Jesus, because you will be on the path with us for eternity. And we just thank you for being a good shepherd and a faithful, loving God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for having me.